Tantor Audio, a division of Recorded Books, presents Run, Run, Rabbit by C.M. Nasgosda. Narrated by Eva Kane. The Party. Chapter 1. Lupercalia. High above the valley, the moon hung like a beacon, brightly lit and luminous. Despite the unseasonably warm weather, there wasn't a single cloud to hide its brilliance. As Vanessa sped along the rural highway, it seemed the moon was shining a spotlight down the road, lighting the way to the celebration like a bright, white runway. She was already running late. Work always seemed to know when she had plans, creating a domino effect of late meetings and endless piles of paperwork. And once she'd arrived home, wardrobe indecision had set her back further. Now she was attempting to make up for the lost time. The stretch of highway between Cambrick Creek and Starling Heights always seemed empty, no matter what time of day she traversed it, which wasn't often. Being the only car on the road often left her feeling discomfited, but she was grateful for the empty road then. There was no one to impede her progress, no one to slow her haste, no one to make her any later than she already was. He would understand. Perhaps more than anyone else she knew, he would understand her tardiness and wouldn't care. If he even notices. After all, hadn't he been late just the previous month, the first time they'd spoken in several? You don't need to apologize. She'd smiled up, once he'd finally appeared before the table that night, in the overpriced restaurant he'd suggested, the waistcoated server ducking his head, pulling out the chair across from her for her tardy companion. The linen-covered table was already littered with the half-empty water and wine glass, the latter having already been refilled twice by the time he'd arrived. But it hadn't mattered. That's a relief. He'd grinned down, his skin still holding its sun-kissed glow, his perfect white teeth blinding her for a moment. He'd been on vacation a month prior to that night, somewhere in the Maldives with someone who wasn't her, and the knowledge had made her twist. But twisting had only ever made her fight harder. Because I hadn't planned on it. His smile was cutting, but she had met it with a sharp-edged grin of her own. He was a wolf, a cocky, arrogant bastard of a wolf. But then again, so was she. Vanessa reminded herself that he'd not apologized then, and she didn't need to apologize now. All she had to do was get there. The moving dot representing her car on the GPS's digital display showed how close she was to the hidden cul-de-sac where she needed to turn, following the circular road where she reached a private drive leading into the woods. Greenbridge Glen was the perfect backdrop for the nearly full moon. A tiny, sparsely populated hamlet, comprising a small resort and a smattering of private homes and not much else, nestled in the rolling hills of agriculture that stretched between the two towns. It was lush and green, the hills providing a perfect sea of shadows for the moon to cast her white light upon, guiding the way. The house was a country estate, built at the turn of the previous century, replete with hundreds of winking leaded windows and deco archways high on a hillside, surrounded by forest peaks and valleys. The Greenbridge Glen address was a tax shelter owned by several members of the Cambrick Creek elite, a shifter who lived halfway around the world, the troll couple who had started the Food Griffin chain, the heiress to the Deliquesse fortune, a ubiquitous home plumbing product marketed to minotaurs and centaurs, and several others, including the evening's host. You've got to be fucking kidding me. The vast estate was on a private drive, a perfect setting for that night's celebration, or at least it would be if the line at the valet wasn't 10 cars deep. Vanessa sighed, tapping her lacquered nails against the edge of the steering wheel as she idled at the curb, watching as another sleek luxury sedan slid into the queue. 11 cars. Fuck it. She didn't want to waste any more of the evening than she already had, taking her foot off the brake as a 12th car took its place in the valet line. She would park down the road and hoof it up the hill, and she wouldn't be forced to waste any more of the party. It had become one of her favorite celebrations of the year. Ironic, as she'd only started celebrating it since she'd met him. Lupercalia. There was something primal about this night, a tumidity that would wake the air even before the smells of sweat and sex permeated the ceremony, a heavy sense of expectation that seemed to curl around her, lifting her hair and licking down her bare legs. That's what happens when you get this many hard cocks in a room at once. The throng of merrymakers had spilled out onto the lawn, she saw as soon as she crested the steep incline, only needing to step through a bit of landscaping, her spiked heels sinking into the black mulch at the base of the manicured shrubbery. A scowling security guard appeared before her, the furrow between his eyebrows deepening as she produced her gilt-edged invitation with a flourish and a beatific smile. It could have been worse, she reminded herself, kicking away the remnants of the mulch that clung to the toe of her black patent leather shoe. You could have wound up crawling through the bushes. You didn't need to climb a tree or hop a fence, so we'll call this a win. As usual, no expense had been spared. The champagne was already flowing liberally, waistcoated servers gliding through the crowd, crystal flutes, hot hors d'oeuvres, and identical black masks on hand for those who had not brought their own. Vanessa wondered, as she looked around at the sea of staid cocktail attire, snagging a champagne flute from a passing tray, how many of these gossiping guests would stay as perfectly coiffed as they were now, how many of them would fall prey to the hysteria of the festivities, loosening their hair and clothing alike when the wolves began to run. She paused, wrinkling her nose at the unexpected taste of the champagne, before straightening her black lace mask and entering the fray. Have you heard the news? Vanessa melted into one of the clusters of partygoers, sipping her champagne as if she had been there the whole time, raising an eyebrow at the woman on the left's excited utterance. There's news? I must have missed it. They were ecstatic to have a newcomer, this circle she'd joined, explaining and re-explaining the same gossip she had steeled herself to hear repeatedly through the night. The group around her tightened ranks, their circle closing, excited whispers piling together into an indistinct susurration, until the dark-haired woman on her left leaned in again. Jackson Hemming is running for mayor. You know what that means? Changes will be coming soon, mark my words, and they're all in our favor. Vanessa had perfected an expression of artless innocence that served her well in the courtroom, and she employed it then. Running for mayor? Where? In Bridgeton? I didn't think our election was for another 2 years. Just goes to show how much I pay attention, I guess. I can't see a werewolf being elected, though, not with a human population of that size. Several of the other guests huffed in exasperation at the foolishness of her comment. Of course not Bridgeton, despite being the closest city, one of the largest in the state, where political aspiration might ripple beyond the well-insulated bubble of these privileged partygoers. She feigned ignorance as they corrected her misassumption, explaining the power dynamics in tiny, neighboring Cambric Creek. Multi-species. Werewolves and shifters started the town, didn't she know? Should be running the town. And it was a relief that they would be again. I guess I've never been that interested in politics. She shrugged, setting her empty flute on the tray of a passing server before turning to move on. The champagne had a sweet effervescence, certainly a top-shelf choice and fine for a crowd this size, but it was hardly his favorite. Correction, some expenses were spared. Jackson Hemming. He's the host tonight, right? I haven't met him. She turned away, unable to hold back her small, self-satisfied smile, as the man to her right snorted in disgust at her ignorance. She didn't wait to hear their corrections. Jackson should be there, she thought, moving on to the next group of people. He ought to be schmoozing and rubbing elbows, participating in the ancient rituals, leaving his judgment and the stick that lived up his ass at the door. But this wasn't his party, and that wasn't her business. One group of people turned into two, then three, on and on. The same tired gossip, identical masks, all blurring together until she was finally able to ascend the stone staircase, pushing through the crowd at the open, gilded doors. The interior ballroom was similarly populated with broods of clucking hens and circling servers, but she knew it would not stay that way for long. Soon, the altar space would be thick with incense and smoke. The music, which was currently so courtly and mild, would escalate slowly, gradually beginning to rise in intensity, nearly without notice. A drumbeat that would seem to thunder in her chest until her heart had absorbed its rhythm would keep the crowd in thrall as the wolves entered, as they ran, as the women in their path shrieked, skin striking skin, hands fitting against the curve of hips, cock slipping between parted thighs like puzzle pieces slotting together. For now, though, the music was sedate, matching the elbow rubbing that took place amongst this crowd of the well-heeled elite. A slow scan of the room showed her where the altar space was set up and the doorways through which the wolves would enter. And there, along the far left wall, she saw him on a raised platform separated from the crowd by a gilded railing. The evening's host. He was tall and impossibly broad with wide shoulders, heavy with muscle, a brick wall of a wolf. The definition of tall, dark, and handsome. At least she had always thought so. His square jaw and firm chin providing a striking profile, even with the black domino mask concealing the top portion of his face. The golden railing kept him separated from the rabble, in an aloof bubble, in the midst of what looked like a heated conversation with several other men. "That's one of the Hemmings," hissed the woman who had sidled up to where she stood, following Vanessa's line of sight. Human from the smell of her, one of the seat fillers. Bursting with recently acquired knowledge and over-eager to share, Vanessa thought, a suspicion the girl all but confirmed as she plowed on. "He's the host, and I think that might be one of his brothers behind him, and the short one is Hasty Harland. No, wait, that's not it. Harmond Hastings," Vanessa corrected, eyes not leaving the bigger man's black mask, "of Hastings Derning Varma." The name didn't seem to ring a bell for the human girl, unsurprising considering she hadn't spent most of her ovulating life taking monthly heat suppressants bearing the Hastings Derning name. Whoever had brought the girl was a name dropper, but Vanessa gave her credit. She was clearly a quick study. "But you're right. That is one of the Hemmings, and the other is one of the brothers. Probably the one running for mayor. He's all anyone is talking about." It wasn't. Even with the mask, she could tell from across the room that it was Trapp standing beside Grayson, his megawatt smile hardening into a scowl, the only two expressions he seemed to possess. But this human didn't need to know that. Better to cause confusion. That's how rumors get started. Sure enough, the human woman's eyes widened behind her own mask, and Vanessa could almost see the gears turning in her head, the way her eyes darted around quickly, looking for someone with whom she might share this newly gleaned nugget. Whatever conversation was taking place between the men, it didn't look like an especially friendly chat, and Vanessa rolled her eyes, turning away from the sight of the men and the human girl, to insert herself into one of the many conversation clusters around the ballroom, hoping the ongoing gossip of the night wouldn't overshadow the actual ceremony. "Have you heard the news?" The blonde who addressed her was the same one she'd stood behind outside the doors, eavesdropping as the woman complained to her companion over having to wear a mask, waiting until the last possible second to slip it over her head. Vanessa knew that beneath the black domino, she had wide green eyes and a permanently frozen expression, thanks to a few too many trips to the esthetician, her eyebrows arched in a creaseless forehead. "The wolves are coming back into power." The masks worn by each attendee were identical, adding to the air of mystery and hedonism surrounding the events, an excellent touch added by the party planners. Even with the masks in place, Vanessa recognized the blonde woman as the owner of a small jewelry shop, operated by the same family for several generations, the russet-haired man to her left, the proprietor of a Main Street restaurant, and the seater beside him from the local paper. A shifter couple with an important family name, a millennial bohemian who'd come wearing a nearly sheer stola, who had a loft in the city where she hosted gallery showings that doubled as prescription drug swap meets. The Cambric Creek elite, and you. I didn't realize they'd ever left power. Someone should have told Jack, she quipped lightly, earning a titter from several of the others, the satyr raising his champagne flute in agreement. I can't believe so many people drove this far to discuss local politics, she went on, draining her glass. Every conversation from which she'd extricated herself had been of the exact same circular nature, of the last thing she wanted to talk about, and she'd only just arrived. You do know that Cambric Creek is a fly speck on the map in the grand scheme of things, right? From the way people are acting, you'd think it was the White House. It's a short jump from mayor to governor, the satyr cut in, his wide pink mouth curved in a sly smile. Especially these days, especially with a recognizable name. A name in the state with a heavy wear population. Once you open that door, the sky's the limit. Governor. Attorney General, perhaps? Grayson does look so good on camera. Surgeon General for the trifecta. Well, I suppose Trap spoiled that part of the plan, but maybe the young one, pre-med aspirations from what I hear. Still, it's paving the road up for the next generation. If anyone actually thinks Jack has been resting on his laurels all these years, they've not been paying attention. The others murmured their agreement, and she heeded, his words leaving her with an odd sense of déjà vu and an uncomfortable twist in her stomach. She didn't belong with this well-heeled crowd any more than this satyr did, but she had discovered that she was able to completely disappear amongst them. Everyone in their whole little far-too-impressed-with-itself town whispered and speculated over the werewolf orgies, as she'd heard the parties called. But none of them would ever cop to having attended, even if they were permanent names on the guest list. No one knew who she was, why she was there, who she might have known, and more importantly, no one cared. The masks gave each guest the guise of invisibility, invisible to everyone but the smirking satyr. Triss Tatterswain saw everything, paid attention to everything, and the weight of his all-seeing eyes chafed at her skin like a rasp of sandpaper. How do you keep getting in, Triss? Who invited you? This is a Wolven holiday, are you aware? Are you under the impression there weren't satyrs at the first celebration? He shot back without hesitation. Werewolves might have founded Rome, sweetie, but they didn't build an empire alone. And I'm fairly certain I was invited by the same person who invited you. Cambric Creek may be small, but the collective voice of our community shouldn't be discounted against a place like Bridgeton, burst in a churlish-voiced man on the other side of the group, clearly impatient with the current conversation taking place above his understanding. Vanessa held the satyr's eye for an interminable moment as the conversation continued around them, Triss's shrewd smile never slipping. How dull, she interrupted again. You should have met up and got this out of your systems before tonight. We're supposed to be celebrating the holiday, not having the same boring conversation every 3 feet. Gossip wasn't what this night was about, after all. I'm with you. The voice at her elbow belonged to a man she'd not noticed edging into the group, but once her nose caught his scent, she wondered how she'd been able to focus on anything else. Her wolf rippled beneath her skin, too close to the full moon to not react to the smell of such virility, and as she turned, Vanessa worried she might rock off her heels. He towered over her, and his gleaming white smile was matched only by the sparkle in his bright blue eyes, beaming down at her. Honey blonde hair, tanned skin. He looked as if he just stepped off the pages of a yachting advertisement, and deep inside, her wolf whimpered. Town girl. Who gives a shit about politics on a night like this? That's not why we're here. At least. He lowered himself to brush his lips against her ear. That's not why I'm here. It was her wolf's fault, Vanessa reminded herself. The hedonism of the holiday, coupled with the fact that the full moon was less than 2 days away. It was embarrassing to admit how desperate she was to be fucked, but it didn't change the reality of the situation. Every 28 days it was the same, a superficial heat brought on by her birth control. She'd be crawling out of her skin in the days leading up to the moon, hornier than should have been possible, and it usually didn't abate until after the moon had passed. Her wolf was just as frenzied, just as desperate to be fucked, just as whiny and needy as she was on two legs, and every month ended the same way. She'd not be happy until she'd taken a thick cock, and an even thicker knot, her womb flooded, left a gasping, panting, cum and sweat-covered mess in the dirt, but at least it ended. That's definitely not why I'm here. But my dance card might be full. She laughed, almost able to hear the way his wolf growled at her own. Skating her nails down the front of his dress shirt, she felt the hard plane of his abdomen, the way his stomach muscles jumped beneath her hand. His cock was already swollen as she traced its shape, pressed to the front of his trousers, giving the tensity of the zipper a run for its money as he hardened. "I wonder how much he wants to come out to play," she mused, giving him a final squeeze before releasing. "But I guess it depends." He leaned down once more, nearly vibrating in eagerness, until she could dart her tongue out and lick the shell of his ear, her wolf begging to lick something else. "How fast are you?" She laughed again at his scowl, shrugging before depositing her second champagne flute on a passing tray. "The chase is half the fun, you know." Vanessa felt eyes on her back as she moved on from the group, pushing through the crowd, stopping to grope several strangers and be groped in turn, one twisting her nipple until she cried out, stumbling, but she avoided turning to find the source of observation. She didn't need to turn and wouldn't give him the satisfaction. She knew what the weight of his eyes felt like, had felt them on her more times than she could count, across meeting rooms and courtrooms, through the glass wall that had separated them, across hotel lobbies and restaurant dining rooms, and the long, ridiculously extravagant backyard of his suburban home. She didn't need to turn. She knew he was watching, and that was enough. She could pick out the event seat fillers with relative ease as she crossed the ballroom, for every party had them. Giggling girls, humans mostly, with influencer-perfect hair and cleavage up to their chins. They came from all over. The plus ones of invited guests or pleading for entrance at the doors, all eager to say they'd actually gotten in, to go back to their universities and jobs, boasting to their friends that they'd fucked a werewolf. Their presence had irritated her in the beginning, but now she appreciated their role and the function they served. They'd all be cruising for the party's host upon entry, realizing in short order that their aspirations were too lofty and that beggars couldn't be choosers, giving the other attendees something to chase for the night. We all have our roles to play. After all, she hadn't been lying to the model handsome stranger. The chase was the fun part. If he wanted to play, he needed to run. Helping herself to another champagne flute, she moved forward, drawn in like a homing beacon by the man leaning against the far wall of the gilded ballroom, smirking at his leer as she approached. There was no hiding what they were, not on this night, nor what they'd all come for. "I could smell your cunt from across the room." The stranger hissed against her hair as she leaned into him, not even bothering with hellos. "You're dripping already, and we haven't even gotten started. Do you want to take my knot, little girl? She didn't waste time with the pretense of wandering down this one's body, gripping the meat of his cock with her whole hand, squeezing until he grunted. He was a wolf, but she was as well, and there would be no seat filler simpering from her, no wide eyes or innocent giggles. Just like that. The man groaned, shifting his pelvis until she could feel the flare of his cockhead, groaning when her hand squeezed again. I want you to choke on it. Do you want to get down on your knees for me? She didn't, not really, but she didn't release him yet. Is that how you want me? Helpless on my knees? Begging for it? Begging to be fucked. He agreed, sliding a hand between her thighs, meeting no resistance. She hadn't bothered with lingerie, not that night. Besides, she spent too much on it for it to be ripped or discarded in the woods, gone forever. Far better to leave it at home, along with her inhibitions. His fingers were stubby and thick, and he groaned again when they pushed between her lips into her wetness. He was right. She was dripping. I want you to choke on my cock, he repeated, circling against her sloppily, and then get down on your knees and beg for my knot. That's how I want you. A pity for him, she thought, for she was unmoved. None of these wolves made her weak. None of them made her blood thrill with helplessness, and none of their knots would be enough to satisfy her. Vanessa could still feel eyes on her back, though, and she shifted her body as the shorter man's hand withdrew, allowing her watcher to see as she squeezed the other man's cock. This wolf was right. She was dripping, had been since the moment she'd arrived, and her nose picked out his singular scent. Dripping and hungry and eager to be filled, but not just any knot would do. You'll have to catch me first. She smiled at the stranger, cock straining against her palm. His eyes narrowed when she released him, straightening the hem of her stola before turning away. The atmosphere in the room had shifted, she realized, nearly without her notice, a sign that the ceremony was about to begin. The music's tempo had slowed, the string quartet winding down their shift before they were replaced with the drums. And suddenly, there was a heat behind her, a hand that landed on her hip with a bruising force, hot breath stooping to reach her ear. I wasn't sure if you were coming tonight, since you've been so busy. The solid pressure of his arm pushed into the small of her back, leaving her unable to turn, and she flinched away from the deep voice at her neck. She heard the rancor there. Unsurprising, since their schedules hadn't meshed all month, even though he'd tried. He'd tried to take her to dinner again, with no free evening materializing for either of them, had made a soft overture around the previous month's moon, but by then she was sitting in pre-trial hearings, with no ability to pull away. Vanessa had expected his acrimonious tone. She hadn't been as prepared, though, for the tinge of bitter hurt that laced his words. I have been. McClellan went to trial, but we wrapped up about a week ago. It had been closer to 2 weeks, and she knew that he knew that, but the masks they wore were designed for hiding. Are you ready to run, Rabbit? Found a cock you like the shape of yet? Picked which one you want to ride, which knot you want filling you, or are you going to let us all take a turn? She grinned a sharp-edged smile, uncaring if the man behind her was unable to see it. Let him be hurt. Let him be jealous. He would run that much faster. That doesn't matter, does it? If you're too slow, you don't get to play. The chase was the fun part. Perfect time to walk back on bad decisions under a moon like this. But I'm not going to let just anyone catch me. I'm hot shit, and whoever he is will have to work for it. If you want to win, you'll have to catch me first. His laugh was low and rough, and her wolf reared, wanting to bite and fight with the owner of such a patronizing chuckle.
Sample complete. Ready to continue?